It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock hour. Cofield and Company. Big Four is on the way. Watch that. Watch it. I would have forgotten that. I would have tripped right over that wire there. Hazards all over the place. We almost killed Steve Carper about 10 years ago. Now we're trying to kill Willie. Willie is the company. Willie G. Jared is running the show. Big Four time here as we pop up in Reno. Want to welcome in the Sparks and Reno audience. Of course, our good buddies are on board for the football season at Circa Las Vegas and Legends Bay is a fantastic casino in the Sparks area. Make sure you get in Circa Million or Circa Survivor. Survivor is going to have the necessary money to boost their $10 million no-rake prize pool. And then Circa Million's getting there. I think I saw over the weekend they were still like, I like how I put this, only $2.4 million away from getting up to the money they need. But this is the nitty-gritty time. People start signing up a lot now. You got to sign up by 2 o'clock on Saturday, September 7th.
Big, big night for the Sparks area. Do you know why?
No.
Because Reed High School graduate Gabby Williams returns to the Seattle Storm.
Nice.
Fresh off the loss in the gold medal game, silver medal winner. She was re-signed by the Storm. She will rejoin the team, which started the post-Olympic break on the East Coast. Now back home tonight against the Washington Mystics with veteran Gabby Williams in the lineup.
Okay. What's her problem? She said, quote, America is not the entire world. What's she doing here?
She's not a fan of the WNBA's rule, the prioritization rule, which went into effect. The last CBA, they negotiated that, and I believe that started last season. If not, it was this season. But you had to be back by May 1st to participate in training camp because some of the players, as you remember, they would, including some of the aces in the past, right? Kayla McBride always, because she was always in the playoffs in overseas, she would come back first or second week of the season. So they go right from overseas into the WNBA season. Now you have to be back, and if you are not back in time, you can't play the entire season. Gabby Williams is not in favor of that rule. She understands what they're trying to say and do, but at the same token, considering the monetary situation between the WNBA and overseas, she doesn't agree with it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Mixed bag weekend for the Aces. Lynx have proven to be tough. And then comes the young, gritty, gutty Sky, who pushed them to the limit. They get a game winner at the end of the game. During one of the breaks in the game,
first quarter,
Asia Wilson got on camera. I think you might hear the interviewer here at the beginning, but fire this.
Everyone has to do their job. From the players to the refs to the coaches, we all have to do our job. And I don't appreciate being looked at and stared at as if you're trying to intimidate me or act like I don't have a voice on this court. So, yes, we are messing up defensively, and it's like we're not engaged. And we need to get engaged, and that's on us. But also, it goes hand in hand. And that's it. And if I get fined for this, I'm terribly sorry, but it's ridiculous. We've been going through this all season, so.
Why is she mad at Angel Reese for looking at her?
I don't know if she meant Angel Reese or if she meant the refs staring her down.
I was being sarcastic. I'm 99% sure that she meant the officials.
Yeah.
Then say it. Earn the fine. Or did she actually do the right thing where in the office they're like, wait.
Well, player, no, coach, she didn't. She blew the whistle on herself when she said getting fined. If she would have left it like that, then it would have been like, wait, who was she talking about? But what I want to know is, all due respect, and you know me, we've been going back and forth. I'm on the Asia Wilson bandwagon, MVP, face of the league. But who are you to say that you don't appreciate? I mean, they're not allowed. Nobody is allowed to look at you in a certain way. I don't appreciate being looked at or trying to be intimidated. They can look at you however they want.
Well, the officials around the league, I think, have been calling some pretty stupid tees. So I don't know if there was a league.
No.
They came down to the officials.
No,
I think like, hey, get everyone in line because we can't have Caitlin Clark committing the massive offense of slapping the freaking expansion pad.
No, I think
she got a T for.
Well, yeah. Well, that was because she was mad at herself. You're right. The T's, but what she's talking about are the non-calls. Yeah. You're calling it at one end, and then you're not calling it at the other, and then you're evening things up. They have been very inconsistent.
Do you think she gets a raw deal in general? Because I do notice when I watch games, she does complain a lot.
100. She does. She gets beat up. But she's not the only one. Breanna Stewart does also. Camila Cardoso does also. All the bigs do. They get beat up inside. She's not the only one but they're getting a raw deal. It's just that the Aces are more at the forefront. They've been on TV as much as anybody else. Aces, the Liberty, the Fever.
Can I counter this with, in a league that only has so many superstars to build around, they have to make sure they're on the floor. So guess what, ladies? Hard play is going to be allowed. Because we need Angel Reese out there to get TV ratings. We need Caitlin Clark out there to get TV ratings. We need, by the way, the best player in that game to be on the floor. Carter.
Is somebody who is...
You want to talk about a hothead.
She's under scrutiny.
She's a lunatic.
Her career has been built around her rough style of play.
Yep.
So,
let's go.
I mean, she just... what's funny is the Sky beat the Aces in the last game before the Olympic break here. And Kennedy Carter was the one that was in the post-game after Teresa Witherspoon and Marina Mabry. And they were asking about what she was going to do over the Olympic or the All-Star break. And she said, well, that's up for... And everyone, once she got traded the next day to the Sun, they said, oh, she knew ahead of time. That's not what she was alluding to. She was alluding to going to participate in the skills competition or the three-point shootout, whatever it was. But the fact of the matter is, as it later came out, she requested the trade. She didn't like certain aspects of the coaching and the atmosphere and the environment. Now she's playing for the Connecticut Sun, one of the better teams in the league. So what did Kennedy Carter do? Hard foul, forearm across the face, dropped her. Mabry had one of her best games of the season. Connecticut beat Chicago. So you're right. Kennedy Carter's a great player, but there's a good example as far as someone who plays very rough. That's the one who hip-checked Caitlin Clark earlier in the season, right? Out of bounds, away from the ball, was upgraded to a flagrant.
Sharpen those elbows.
Yeah. So
let's do it.
I
want a league with rough play. I don't want a league where everyone's going to the free throw line. Let's go. Everyone's big and tough.
I have no problem with the rough play. I have no problem with the physical style of play. We saw it. We've talked about it all season. Alyssa Thomas dropping Angel Reese. Jonquel Jones dropping Angel Reese. I mean, it's the fact that if you're going to talk about it evenly across the board, not against just the darlings of the league and, you know, the favorites, number one. Number two, if you're going to let them play, then let them play at both ends, call it evenly or non-call it evenly. Because there has been some uneven calls across the board. The only thing that stood out in that rant for me was when Asia said, I don't appreciate being looked at, being stared down. Well, you guys, you do it to everybody. Not you, but meaning all the ladies do it to everybody. And the Aces are professionals at it. Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson, they stare down a lot of ladies.
Do you use the look? Just in general. You just give me a look?
Only in the gym.
Did you just try that? Only in the gym?
Only in the gym.
Is it if they take the equipment or they don't wipe it down?
I don't. You know. You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
I don't care about wiping. I'm so layered up in there. And I mean, if you're in the gym, and I mean, you're breathing in. I mean, come on. You're in the gym. You're in the gym. I mean, sitting down on a bench that someone else sat down, that doesn't bother me. What I have a problem with is, unless you are using your phone, like I have an app, an actual workout app with a timer on it. So when I finish a set, I record it, and then there's a timer. So I'm on my phone. But if they're on there, and like one break between set is a minute, the next one is 2.5 minutes, the next one's 40 seconds, the next one's 3 minutes, and you're actually you're getting a look. And then I'll just walk up and go, how many more sets you got?
All right, hold on a second. Ready?
Yeah.
Pink Cadillac. Kearney. Golden Nugget. That's an audible. Very quiet. I didn't want to yell because we have the door open. I got to call an audible. Big Four is done. I got to finish on a couple of fronts here.
Okay.
First of all, on the look. With the old configuration of the studios,
yeah,
we used to give the look a lot. This studio was a hornet's nest for our producer because they were in between us. Adam Hill would be on one side. I would be on the other. And like, we did a Chuck Ojeda. Oh, yeah, we did a Chuck Ojeda celebration with, I think it was Throwback Thursday. Chuck used to get it a lot. He used to get it a lot. Like, I'd give Adam the look when Chuck was looking at him and vice versa. I did the look the other day and it was misunderstood. So the other day, we were a little late setting up on Friday. You felt that.
Yeah.
And so there was a microphone that needed to extend, you know, like, I don't know, 15 feet over to Salerno. Well, it wasn't unwound. And then it's a kind of twisted up. And Salerno, he's a big guy. So he's trying to pick up the mic and go back. And all of a sudden the equipment starts like going flying in front of me. And I just look at him like, but my look was the setup. Not Greg. And then we got to a break, and Greg's like, I'm really sorry about that. I'm like, it wasn't you.
You've already given a look once today.
For?
Crapping on your Michigan story.
I gave a look?
Sure you did. You looked at me and went, okay, we're out of it. Let's go.
No, I did an action. Because you're right. Because then, no, it could be because if you think you found a fake story, we need to go look it up. So at that point, we need to look it up. So I looked it up, and most major outlets have reported the notice has been given to Michigan over the Connor Stallions thing. Now, the rumors that Sherrone Moore could be pounded for it, those are just rumors. But you're right, the link, because unfortunately, in this case, I catalog like tweets all the time.
Right. Yep.
So, and I might have three on the same story. I picked one that you found was the guy who had 157 followers. So no one has said that Sherrone Moore could be facing a suspension. That's not official, but... By the way, the Connor Stallions documentary is out tomorrow. Netflix.
By the way, you just gave me a Christopher Walken deja vu when you said, no, that wasn't a look, that was an action. Have you ever seen the movie Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead?
I don't know.
Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead, one of the greatest B-gangster movies, and Andy Garcia and his crew screw up, and he goes in to apologize to Christopher Walken, who's the head, but he's now a paraplegic, and he says, I said it was just a piece of work, right? Not an action. It was a piece of work, right? In his Christopher Walken. So maybe just now it. When I said the look, you went, no, it was an action.
Maybe I stole it.
Could be.
Who knows? Josh Pacheco coming in, ESPN Honolulu. That's going to be in about 7 minutes. So give me your thoughts on what Harbaugh has left behind. It looks like they might get smashed.
It's a mess. And he bailed out.
Do you feel bad for Sherrone Moore?
I feel bad for the program itself outside of those that knew what was going on and were a part of it, if they were, and
so
did the, you know, if they had their hands in the cookie jar and they're still there, then they should pay the price. If somebody, you know, I feel bad for is the recruits coming in that,
yes,
that Harbaugh recruited, yes, and sat in the living room with the parents, right, said, come on in. Now he's gone, they're there, and now the program's facing penalties.
And he might have known all along what Stallions was doing for the last 2 years. And he sat there straight faced to those kids and recruited them like, hey, I'm going to be there for another 5 years at least.
And you know what?
That's crap. But I'll tell you what, on Sherrone Moore and even some players that are left behind, I think a lot of them knew about it.
It's hard to believe that they did.
I don't know if this Netflix thing is going to give us all the answers, but I think we're going to find out that this was going on for a while. It was very honed. It was very detailed. I believe they knew plays coming at them from the opponent going back to 2 years ago. I think they did for the first half of last year before, you know, the heat was turned up, so... And for Sherrone Moore, like, you took part in it and you stayed around.
I don't know the answer to this, Steve, and I don't know if you've ever addressed this since this has become a big thing, but if not, then maybe this is a great question for Justin on Wednesday. When something like this goes down, can they not only get penalized, but can they sanction NIL money? Now, all of a sudden, can they be said, well?
It's a good question. I don't know. They've made it so that it's supposed to be at arm's length.
Completely so. Yeah.
When we know it really isn't.
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Coach Prime is showing he is not ready for prime time. I find this whole thing to be disgraceful. Deion may want to talk about love and joy, and that's been the cornerstone of what he seems to be spewing out. But treating reporters like this seems like we're in some autocratic country. This is not America. And I find him to be a bully and a hypocrite. And quite frankly, as someone who has been a fan of his throughout his entire career, even at Colorado, I am mortified by his actions.
On ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, let's talk a little Hawaii football. You hear Paul Finebaum. It's actually kind of funny listening to Finebaum talk about the Deion story and then going to a press conference this morning with Barry Odom and getting ready to talk Hawaii football and our conversations with Timmy Chang. those two guys couldn't be any different. Seem appreciative to get the coverage. They're very engaging. Josh Pacheco knows that. He covers Hawaii. They already got a game in the books. We wanted to preview Hawaii for the game later in the season. But Josh is up from ESPN Honolulu with Willie and Cofield. Josh, how you doing, buddy?
Good, you guys. How are you?
We're good. We're good. We're going through what you guys did last week, the anticipation of game number one as UNLV open in Houston against a Big 12 team. The assignment for Hawaii was a little bit different, but it turned out to be a challenge. Tell us what happened in the game and if you came away impressed with the victory by the Rainbow Warriors.
Yeah, it's hard to walk away impressed when you're having to pull away in the fourth quarter against a team that is toward the bottom of its own conference. I think the MO of this team, I think Jimmy Chang has taken the reins of this team now, and it's his third year. This team comes out kind of slow, and they did against Delaware State. I mean, offensively, they were a little predictable, not in sync. You started to see them kind of change things up in the run and shoot a little bit in the second half, and looked a lot better, looked a little more organized. And that's what Hawaii's going to be judged by. They're going to be judged by what they do offensively, how consistent they look offensively, because everybody's looking to see the Hawaii of old with all the points. That was really a work in progress. Outside of that, I think defense consistently was strong. Special teams was kind of a nice factor with Tylan Hines' punt return, and we saw some good punting for Lucas Borrow, which if I'm telling you we saw good punting from a punter after a game, that's usually not a very good sign. But, you know, Hawaii did its job. They got a win, but not the kind of win that makes you feel any comfortable with UCLA coming in.
It was an interesting setup for the game because Delaware State had some travel woes, right?
Yeah, that's putting it lightly. They were supposed to get in on Tuesday, and then the bus company had a quote-unquote scheduling error, so they didn't actually pick up the team. And then because they missed that direct flight, it was a direct flight from New York to Honolulu, which is 10 and a half hours. There was no other flight that could get the travel party of 100-plus on the same flight. So they had to break it up into four different travel groups. The last group got in Thursday, so they had to miss all the informational stuff, the Pearl Harbor stuff and everything, and just got in practice Thursday night and then had to get ready for the game. And frankly, kudos to head coach Lee Hall on that team, because given that adversity, to be hanging with Hawaii, tied at one point, in third quarter, I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's a nice job by that group.
Josh Pacheco is with us. One other thing we should talk about, too, before we get into any more details about the game, the weather in the area on Saturday was a little bit odd, was it not?
Yeah, you had at that time a tropical storm turned into hurricane. It was the storm was named Hone, and while that was more toward the Big Island on the right side of the chain, there was still some wind and some rain. Now we were told that band of rain and wind, and it was a pretty good amount of it, was not necessarily associated with that storm. But still, I mean, it rained most of that game. Wind was kind of off and on. I think it was gusting at about 35 miles an hour. And I think it played a part a little bit in special teams, maybe a little bit offensively. But I don't think at the end of the day it was a real factor in that game, just because it was so inconsistent.
Earlier in the show, I can't remember who the heck we were talking about, Steve, but you said they're in their third year, auditions over. Timmy Chang's in his third season at coach at his alma mater. Is there a chip on his shoulder? Is there a little pressure? Is he feeling it? What's the mindset this season with him at the helm?
You know, if he's feeling it, then he's not showing it. He does a really good job of kind of staying even keel and kind of taking it, what's in front of him at that particular time. What's behind the scenes, I don't know, but I do know that their athletic director, Craig Angeles, has said even to us, teams got to start winning. Has mentioned the just one win in two seasons on the road that they're trying to work on. And so I'm sure there is a little bit of pressure on him. He's just not showing it to all of us, and that's not really surprising at all.
Offense, let's break it down a little bit. First of all, how was the run game?
Run game was all right. I think, Landon Sims was good, although his I think his emphasis was more on blocking in the backfield, he was really one of the standouts of the game, just because he did a little bit of everything. He was their leading rusher, but he was one of their best protectors for Braden Shager. And when you look at Shager netting 38 yards on 10 carries, it's kind of a deceptive number because he had those two touchdowns. I would say a lot of that came in the second half, as he or the coaching staff, I think they'll tell you both, kind of let him loose. Got him a little more comfortable getting out of the pocket and taking what the defense gave him. If he was able to get, yards down the field. But this team is not going to be defined by the run. The run will open things up a little bit, but it will be defined in that run and shoot by what they do through the air. And that was an area where it was a little bit consistent. But the run game, Sims opened it up early, Shager a little bit later with the defense. It was okay.
What's the latest with McBride?
The latest with McBride, it's an eligibility issue. This is separate from the arrest that took place back in July on what was downgraded to a petty misdemeanor. He's with the team. Last we saw, he was with the scout team, so he's around. He's not away from the team. There's a feeling that we've been kind of getting with McBride that, we don't know. The NCAA can take a very long time with things, as you guys well know. But I think people are bracing to not have him for an extended period of time. It's not exactly known what the eligibility issue is. Again, it's different from the domestic incidents that took place in July. And I think because of that, it's definitely an unknown. But I think, this receiving corps is pretty deep, and I don't know that they're going to miss a beat without him. And that's credit to what they have. I mean, you had transfers, Crowdis coming from the SEC. Pofele Ashlock is expected to be really good, and he has shown that. So they are more than deep to where if McBride's not there, I don't think they're set back very much at all.
Once again, speaking with Josh Pacheco, ESPN Honolulu, you mentioned Shager. The talk about the efficiency, two touchdowns, and he runs for two more. On the overall, what you saw, the upside to him in comparison to the rest of the conference and how far he can lead this team?
I think the upside with him is that he can make all the throws. I think right now, and he even said it after the game, there were some drops, there were some timing issues. It's game one, and I don't think a lot of people were expecting that this, the run and shoot offense or this iteration of it without the tight end was going to look great. But I think what I saw from him was, as things opened up, he got more confident. That second half, we saw a much better second half from Shager. He was 8-20 in the first half, and it was not the most impressive. But if this is potentially one of the worst things you'll see against Delaware State, I think in the conference, I expect him to look a lot better. I expect that offense to look cleaner across the board. I think he's going to be fine. He's got a good arm, fairly accurate, and I think he's seeing the field and timing with his receivers okay for now. I think we'll get a lot better. His upside is definitely there, no doubt about it. We just haven't seen it yet in game one.
I guess one of the unfortunate things about not, covering the spread, playing a game like that where you're winning by 35 or, 40-plus points is that their true freshman quarterback, who is the future from Bishop Gorman, no time logged, huh?
No, and I don't know that you're going to expect him to have any time log this year.
Okay.
John Keavisongapolutelli was named the backup quarterback, and we did see him toward the back end just, taking some handoffs. And we talked with quarterbacks coach Dan Morrison last week on our radio show, and the next quarterback he named after that was Jake Farrell, who has been with the program for a long time. Now, there is no official number three on the depth chart, but some of the signs that were indicated after the decision was made, and nothing has been said definitively, is that you could see Alejado set up for a red shirt if he doesn't play four games. And I think there's a high there's a high likelihood he won't play four games. So the chances of him playing, I would say, are pretty slim. Sangapolutele, that backup, has certainly improved from getting out of high school at Punahou to now. And Morrison is, gushed about his ability to understand this offense right now. So I don't know that you'll see Alejandro this year.
Josh, we appreciate it. We're up against it. Have fun in this UCLA game. Should be a good time, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
There he is. His show's coming up in just a couple minutes. UCLA is on the horizon, but yeah, his show, Josh's show on ESPN Honolulu, goes down from 3 until 6. Kind of a big game for UCLA. Can't lose this one, and we'll talk to Brad Powers later in the week. Brad's pointed out in the past that game in hand in matchups where the other team is just opening up first game, not necessarily always an advantage to a team with game in hand. So Hawaii didn't play great. Can they challenge UCLA? It's a possibility. The line's only 13.5, so they'll be one to track all week to see where the action goes with Hawaii taking on the Bruins.
Live from the Finley Toyota Studios.
What was your message to them immediately afterward?
I told them we buried the old Nevada tonight. And, you know, we gotta make dang sure that we don't let SMU beat us twice. We've got another 11-win team that we're going on the road to play in Troy. And we got to turn the page quickly. But I think these guys understand that if they operate and do the things that we ask them to do, the way we want them to do it, that there's an opportunity for this team to make some noise.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Good message from Jeff Choate. He's the new head coach, new head of the program for Nevada football. Heartbreaker. Really surprised a lot of people. Lead of the half. Lead going to the fourth. 16-0. Fourth quarter on the side of SMU. Upset averted. The Mustangs were laying anywhere. I don't know what the original number was, but from like 24 to 28.
Yep.
And they pulled it out. I like what Choate said. Talk about a freaking punch to the gut of Ken Wilson. Like, we buried the old Nevada. Like, the old Nevada before that was actually pretty good with Jay Norvell. And, you know what I mean? It's like kind of harsh, but I think he's talking about burying the thoughts of the last 2 years when they were hard luck losers more than a few times. So we saw some good things. We'll see what happens moving forward. It can happen, right? We saw it last year at UNLV. They turned over a lot of the roster, brought in 50 new players. Believe it or not, even with the success they had last year, and we're going to have some Barry Odom audio from today's media availability in the 5 o'clock hour. Believe it or not, they have 55 new players this year, UNLV. So they're churning through, trying to get the best mix of players. And obviously, Nevada was in that same position. So we'll see what they do this week against Troy.
Quick scoring update. Yes. Your Indiana Fever have been led by Aaliyah Boston. 6 straight points to start the game. 6-0 in Atlanta.
You know what's funny on the whole, my Caitlin Clark? I like both. Like, I haven't really picked a side. I don't care about the rookie of the year.
I didn't say anything about Caitlin. I said, your Indiana Fever.
That's a good point. You did. I made it into Caitlin Clark, so you got me.
Jesus.
I slept.
Freudian.
Well, see, I do like Caitlin Clark. I don't know if their coach knows what she's doing, but they are playing better basketball. I think Aaliyah Boston has got to punch more people in the face. I'm tired of seeing Caitlin Clark get bumped, and there's no big to protect. That would be my job. I would be a very unskilled big lady, and it would be an enforcer. I don't know why he's giggling like a child over here. It's part of basketball. You got to protect the stars.
There's always been. Here's something that Caitlin Clark can take credit for. The stuff that people clamoring about this year when it comes to the physicality and the cheap shots, if that's what you want to call them, and the shots and the elbowing, the shoves, and this, they have been there for years.
In the league. It's a rough league.
Now that it's on more channels.
Right.
You're seeing it more. One of Kelsey Plum's favorite stuff is about how Diana Taurasi bullied her. And then I think it was last year, she hip-checked her to the ground. They got into it during the Bird and Taurasi show. And she was like, oh, you flopped. Because you literally threw me to the ground. They went back and forth about it. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about some of these other shots that have taken place. So yeah, there's something she can take credit for. More eyes are now seeing what the league has been. It's not just this year. It has been physical.
Well, maybe there hasn't been enough protectors in the league. Maybe someone should have protected and...
This isn't hockey.
...belted Diana Taurasi over the years to send her a little message. The other day when Caitlin Clark, at home, is waving the crowd on...
Stop.
..and Skylar Diggins like... and runs up to her and bumps her.
Wait a minute.
Skylar Diggins should have been on... And she was She was probably at left wing, you know, 3-point extended at about 30 feet from the basket. She should have been shoved all the way to the baseline by someone big. She weighs 115 pounds. Take her like a left tackle and drive her.
Who are protectors in the NBA that start fights? Draymond Green?
I mean, that would be one. He's out of control.
Okay, so then why is it when the women this year have gotten each other's face, they've had to separate them, there's almost this, why is it such a bad thing when it's okay?
It's not a bad thing for me. You're right.
Then there are protectors and there are enforcers. It's just frowned upon because they're women?
Because they're women.
That's BS.
Yes.
They're athletes.
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
There's Carter with a crossover for the tie. Got it! With 0.8 on the clock.
A tip.
Gray will take it out. 1.1 looking for Wilson to put it up. Beats the clock. Asia, the game winner.
On ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state and Nevada. Number 775 in the north. Why? Reno has an office. Vegas, downtown Vegas, and in Henderson. I get what you're saying. That did not sound like clock the second time she said clock in the highlight. But sometimes you get rushed. I want to get to that in 5 minutes, okay? Game winner. Play drawn up. Maybe there's some sides on the teaspoon side. Is that what her nickname is? What's her nickname? Spoon?
Spoon.
Okay.
Teaspoon.
Teaspoon? Can I go with teaspoon?
Teaspoon, spoon.
Okay.
Just don't call her by Teresa.
Okay.
All right. According to her.
Boy, I talked to a friend yesterday, speaking of Chicago.
That one?
I talked to a friend yesterday. I'm not going to punch down on a comment like that. We have, by the way, we have a new punch down sign. Yes. It's like a little workout.
We were starting to do that last year.
And then I was doing my hips, too. Is that, what's that? Is that Flossy there? Oh, anyway. He said he had gone to check out Mr. Beef in Chicago. That's the place that's sort of the inspiration for the bear. He said one of the best sandwiches he's ever had. And then he got, who did we talk to last week? Oh, you weren't on. That's right. Friday, we talked to one of McMillan's buddies, this guy Matt Grork. Matt's a meat master. He's a pit master. And Matt was at a barbecue fest in Seattle, but he's from South Jersey, big Eagles fan. And I told him, I was like, bro, when you post TikToks, Instagrams, and Twitter videos of you cutting the meat, like I get really tingly. Like it is great. Mm. When my friend was describing, a different friend, I have lots of friends, the Mr. Beef. He said he got a sausage and beef, and he's like, they dipped it. And it was like, bro, get him a bag. He's going to hyperventilate. Just remembering the sandwich.
Speaking of grilling, he brought me some barbecue sauce to the press box.
He did? Yeah. He's got barbecue sauce. He's got the rub.
He was at Ace Hardware now in Henderson. He was upset that he couldn't bring me a bottle because they wouldn't let glass, so he brought me too little. So I told him what I was going to do. He said, whoa, you don't need to overseas, but just use the sauce. I was like, Mark, relax. What I meant is I'm going to use my rub to start, and then I'm going to use yours as heat it with as like a dip. I'm going to dip. I want to taste your sauce, but I got to cook it with – I'll use the perfect rub. But anyway, yeah. So
dueling rubs. You insulted the chef.
No.
I
want to
mix my rub with your don't – no. You guys are all very territorial. I looked at you. You know what? I still have a lot of the rub that you gave me. Mm. I looked at it the other day. I didn't use it. But I thought about using it. I have some burgers. I think I'm going to use something on a burger.
Okay.
Why not? Maybe a turkey burger. Or is that... No?
Turkey burger's good.
They get pretty dry. They might need some rub.
You have to do what I do. Is you get 2 pounds of turkey, ground turkey, 1 pound of 93.7 ground beef. Put it all together. Hmm. So then it adds... And then you get the fat that'll burn off when you're grilling.
All right.
You get a little bit, so it keeps it nice and moist.
That'd be pulling a sneakeroo on the SO.
Oh.
To mix the, she's not a real beef person, but if I mix it together, she's not going to know.
Typical Charger.
And her friends don't listen closely enough to know that I'm going to spike her turkey meat with some beef.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Beef, the sub he talked about, $13. Not bad.
Italian
not bad.
Beef.
Now.
With everything loaded, the jardiniere, the sport peppers, the whole bit.
The problem is 13 like should be the peak. But we've gotten a little out of control on the sub cost.
Around
we've gotten a little out of control on all fast food costs, and you and I have been making the plea over time. The show has, like, we're going to have to drop this whole damn thing.
It's out of control.
If you don't give us some real value meals again. Otherwise, I ain't coming back. And you want, look at this, you want this temple to be titillated by fast food again. So what do we got? We got Subway and the footlong? They going back to old times?
Not the $5 footlong, but what they are doing, apparently, they're slashing the price of the footlong to $6.99 okay. for 2 weeks.
I mean, it's something. It's a start. Something. Progress.
Maybe you just go stock up, freeze them.
Freeze. Okay, so you get... So, if seriously, if you're going to freeze a sub, you have to provide your own accoutrement. You have to provide your own lettuce and whatever else you want to put on it. You're not going to freeze lettuce.
True.
Right.
I was just trying to throw something a little snarky out there.
Okay, are you going to go?
It depends. It really depends on what I've eaten that day, where the caloric intake is. I'm kind of heavy into the meal prep plan right now.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but the cool thing is the app recognizes, and if I punch in any place, it's generally has it already built in, so I can figure out what it is and fit it in. Like if I've had a low day and I'm on my way here, it's last minute, I could probably grab something. What's your favorite?
I like Capriati's.
I like Capriati's too.
Maybe they can back it up with like a $7 Wagyu something.
Now, I would say...
That'd be nice. Cap, it's like 2 weeks. That'd be nice.
I would say Caps, you know, for what you pay for, because they have three different sizes, I think it's very fair because the quality... I love Capriati's. Whenever there's an event at UNLV, 2 week, you know, let's say it's a summer league or a tournament... I stop at that Caps right by the university.
You're really getting, I don't know why you're quiet talking all of a sudden. You're getting like that guttural
it's
moan.
It's kind of sensual.
Sure, that's what I was saying a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
So you heard the end of the game.
Yeah.
Nice play. Tell me what you saw on the play before and during the play.
Well, I saw that Camila Cardoso was not in the paint. She was instead guarding the inbounds pass, which is an important aspect of the game. I will agree to a degree in that situation. But more than anything, the MVP of that play was Kelsey Plum because she screened out anybody that could get to Asia Wilson. Chelsea Gray throws a football pass over the shoulder. Asia grabs it, puts it up. Why? Altogether, Chelsea Gray is going to throw a pass. It's going to be very hard to defend the person they call the point guard, right? Yeah, she's not. She's showing that she's maybe a step below what she's been, but she's still Chelsea Gray, and she's standing still. She's not on the move. She's going to place it. The rest of you got to do your part. Kelsey Plum was the MVP of that play. End of story.
But it'd also be nice if Angel Reese, who's got Plum and another player between her and the rim, get out of the muck.
Well,
was on the spot, and then because Cardoso was guarding the inbounds at 6'8", there's no one to rim protect.
Basketball fundamentals, you should try to guard the inbounds, but put Angel Reese out there and put Camila Cardoso, who had how many blocks? At one point, she had 5 blocks, 3 of them were against Asia Wilson. Put her in the paint, not Angel Reese. Put Angel Reese out there to guard the inbounds pass. Now, I didn't see this until early afternoon and then again just during the break I showed you. It looks like during the timeout to draw up that defensive play on that side, Cardoso was not happy in her body language, her facial expression, shaking her head, walking sort of away out of
like, this play is stupid.
Yep. Like, what are you doing? So.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of things throughout the season you could point to with the sky if they fall short of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I felt like you were neutered last hour a bit. You got muted. We'll use that word. When we had Steve Kim on and he was echoing the words of one Jason Whitlock, who, as I said earlier, surprisingly is anti-Angel Reese. I don't know how this is happening. But they were talking about Reese's shot being really flawed. We're getting a little too jacked up about a rookie who hasn't had a chance to deconstruct and then reconstruct her shot. I think it's a little early for conclusions. Whitlock, who had a decorated basketball career, he was actually an offensive guard. He may have been a good basketball player. I don't know. Angel Reese releases the ball at her shoulder, not at eye level. It's the equivalent of Stevie Wonder and Gary Coleman combining on a shot. I mean, come on. Leads to blocks and bricks. It won't be an easy fix. Might be impossible. Come on. I've taught myself how to shoot lefty.
I don't think that it is unfair to criticize Angel Reese. I don't think that it's unfair to criticize Caitlin Clark for being leading for the number of turnovers she has already is a ridiculous eclipses previous rookies in the history of the WNBA. The history that they're creating, and for as much as we are loving on Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese for the records they're breaking as rookies, then they also need to get the constructive criticism. Now, when you add sort of little rip shots and you say it meanly, if that's
Stevie Wonder and Gary Coleman is mean too much. By the way, what do we know of Gary Coleman? I mean, obviously Stevie's challenged. This guy's at a disadvantage. He's blind.
I don't know. We're comparing a national champion, one of the most heralded rookies, to first of all to two men. Number one, number two. We're degrading her instead of just being constructive, saying, wow, she has an awkward shot. Shaq had an awkward shot, too. I'm not comparing her to Shaq. I'm comparing the constructive credit or the breakdown of her shot.
Right.
I mean, you know, like I'm seeing the one off yesterday where she had like three offensive boards, four missed shots, and then she also did that in the middle of two aces with two right behind her. So realistically, it was 4-on-1 on the boards. And, oh, by the way, let's go back and look at that replay and see how many times she was fouled before they finally called the foul.
She's 101 of 262 on layups.
Horrible field goal
42.2%.
Yeah. Gotta be.
I almost preface this with saying, can we do this? Of course we can do it. We're talking basketball. You do understand, and this is just basic science physicality, that making shots for women in traffic is more difficult because they're not generally going to explode off of 2 feet to, a 36-inch vertical leap. So when they are jumping, it is super, super crowded in the lane. They're not going to clear a lot of space. It's physical. Now, what I would like to see actually is are layup rates in the lane. That should actually be a league stat. In traffic, layup stats in the lane. And I bet you there aren't many who are above 47%. It should be like 65%. But I wonder what the number is. And if 101 of 262, 42.2%, is that truly awful, or are we only noticing it because she grabs every one of her own freaking misses?
Yes. We're only recognizing what she's doing near the rim. And while I'm sitting here telling you this, I am looking it up because there are stats. And I can look them up as to where she's at as far as how close. They do have those stats on Basketball Reference. So I'm going to say this because it's going to sound crazy, but if you follow me here, it makes sense as to, especially with what you just said. In the paint against the likes of Brittany Griner, Asia Wilson, Brianna Stewart, Jonquil Jones, DeWanna Bonner, Alyssa Thomas, I could go on and on with the bigs in this league, Tina Charles. It might be easier for someone like Caitlin Clark to fire up a three-pointer than it is for Angel Reese to try to get a bucket at the rim against world-renowned players.
I like her game. She's rough and tough. She'll get the layups down. But the offensive rebounding, everyone else is going to have to figure out how to block her out.